Invite you, if you have your Bible handy, to turn with me to the book of Matthew. And I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Oh, I love the sound of pages turning. That's a beautiful sound. Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Reading in Jesus' name. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You may be seated. Now, that's not a very Father's Day passage, is it? But I'm sure it's a familiar passage to a lot of you, but I bet that some of you are wondering why I chose that passage today. You're probably wondering why I chose that passage for my first sermon here. And maybe, some of you are thinking, whoa, is he trying to tell us something? Is there some kind of agenda he's going to push on us here? But no, just in case those kinds of things are running through your head, I want to let you know that for the next year or so, while I'm here, I'm going to be following what's called the pericopes. Now, if you're not familiar with that word, pericope, what it is it's a collection of suggested readings throughout the church year, readings that are recommended for every Sunday. And I chose to follow those for two reasons in particular. First of all, being a young pastor, it forces me to deal with passages that I might otherwise avoid, some more of the difficult passages that might be easier to skip over if I'm just picking out verses for myself each week. So it's good discipline for me. But the other benefit here is that it does a very good job of walking through a particular gospel each year. This year it's the book of Matthew. And so you're going to see that it goes pretty systematically through the book of Matthew. With the exception for today, we're going to be walking through verse by verse, pretty much, the book of Matthew. So it's good for you guys, too. You're going to get a pretty good treatment of the Gospel of Matthew. So that's why this verse is here today. So what about this passage? Well, it's often referred to as the Great Commission. You've probably heard that before, and it's a really good reason it's called that. It's an important passage for the church today as we try to understand what our purpose is. What purpose God has given us as we go about our daily lives. Now, certainly God's purpose for us, ultimately, is to come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. But as we see here, God's purpose doesn't stop there for each and every one of us. God wants to see us bring that same saving gospel to the world around us. That peace that Greg was just talking about, that peace we get to enjoy now, and the ultimate peace later. There's all kinds of people around us, millions in the world today, who are not going to enjoy that peace right now and are not going to enjoy that peace on the day of their death. And so God gives us this commission. He says, "Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you." But before we dig into why it is we can actually do this, why we can go make disciples, we need to understand a little bit about the circumstances surrounding Jesus' words here. And we need to understand who this commission is given to. Well, first of all, Jesus is speaking these words to his disciples right after he has been resurrected, after he's already been crucified, gone to the grave, and risen again. He's been appearing to people around Jerusalem. He's been appearing to the 11 apostles. And that's 11. Now remember that Judas is gone by now. So we're at 11 apostles. And the 11 apostles are now called to be gathered in Galilee for some final words before Jesus goes and takes his place at the right hand of God. And now Matthew's main concern in writing this particular section of history is recounting the history of the 11 apostles and talking about them, what they've done after Jesus was put to death and what they've done after his resurrection. But we also need to make note that these aren't the only people who received this commission. In fact, it's pretty obvious from the rest of Scripture that this is probably the meeting place where 1 Corinthians 15 says over 500 people were there that Jesus appeared to. The whole host of disciples were hearing these words. And that's important to understand because otherwise, we might get the impression that this commission was given to apostles only. And that's not the case. You might get the impression that it applies only to those people who are like the apostles today. Maybe your elders, pastors, evangelists, apologist types. But no, the commission isn't for just them only. The commission is for every one of us here today. This commission is given to everyone who considers themselves to be disciples of Christ. And the other good thing to know about this passage is that the wording here is really unique. The English language has a difficult time accurately translating what's going on here. But it's interesting to note that the main verb here, the main go verb, the main action verb, I guess you would say, is not the word go. It's not the word go. Go isn't the command here. The main action word is make disciples. In fact, if we were to translate this passage a little more accurately, it would read more like, as you are going, make disciples. Or since you're already going, make disciples. And again, this is important to understand, because otherwise we're going to be tempted to think that this commission is given only to those who do missionary work. We might be tempted to think that this commission is only for those who leave their homeland to bring the gospel to foreigners. But that's not the case either. This commission is given to all those who are already going about in the world. All of us here are already going about in the world. And if you look around yourself, every day you're coming into contact with all the nations, aren't you? I mean, there's a lot of different nations represented right in this congregation, and definitely all throughout Nampa and Boise and Caldwell and all of them. So again, this commission is given to everyone who considers themselves to be a disciple of Christ. But that's an awesome task to undertake, isn't it? I mean, even Jesus himself had people who didn't want to follow him. He had people who were angry with him for sharing the gospel, for sharing the good news about himself. And now, little old me, little old you, we're being asked to make disciples? That's too much to bear. Are you kind of thinking that right now? Because if you are, you're not alone. Because you're right, it is an awesome task. It's a terribly frightening task. This commission to make disciples. And had Jesus only said, go make disciples of all the nations, if that were his only words here, we would have no hope. We couldn't possibly pull it off. See, you and I, we're too sinful. We're too broken to get out and make disciples of all the nations. I don't think we'd even get out the front door, because we would just be too afraid of the task. We'd be too afraid that we don't have the wits to do it. We'd be too afraid that we don't have the intelligence to do it. We'd be too afraid of the people that we'd run into as we go and make disciples. And see, that's the terror of knowing the truth of our own sinful nature. Our sinful nature cannot handle the things of God, let alone proclaim his gospel to our neighbor. And yet we have this commission. And praise God that Jesus doesn't only tell us to make disciples and then just go on his merry way up into heaven. No, he bookends this commission with some wonderful truths about himself and his relationship to us. He wants us to understand that we have been given this commission to make disciples within the context of his authority and his accessibility. We get to join in with God's mission of making disciples, knowing that Jesus has the authority over all things in heaven and earth. And we get to join in with God's mission of making disciples, knowing that he is readily accessible to us should we need his help. So let's talk a little bit about that authority. Even before we receive this commission, all right, Jesus makes the statement that all authority has been given to him on heaven and in earth. And praise God that this is true. I mean, because for you and I, that authority begins with his authority over that sinful nature that we were just talking about. Through faith in Christ, your sinful nature is being put to death, even while he's giving his spirit to dwell in you. And boy, just think of what that means. Let's say your own sin, like mine, has prevented you from in the past sharing your faith with somebody. Now, if your sin has prevented you from sharing your faith, well, you could sit in guilt and sit in shame and be afraid of even trying to share your faith again. But that's not what Christ's death and resurrection is meant to do for you. Christ's blood has paid for that sin. Or if your own sin had you maybe making mistakes with God's word. Now, again, you could sit and wring your hands and worry about handling God's word in the future. Or you could boldly proclaim that Christ's blood has paid for that sin and just keep going. You see, Christ's death and resurrection has released you from any sin problems in your past that would keep you from making disciples today. That's authority. That's what it means to have this sinful nature put to death. But what's more, Christ's authority means that he has sent to you a new spirit, dwelling within you and ready to help you as you go and make disciples. So now, if you don't think you have the wits about you to make disciples, or you don't have the intelligence to make disciples, know that you have a new nature that does. You have a new spirit that does. And look, if you're afraid of the people that you're going to run into, the people that you might share your faith with, oh boy, know that you have a new nature and a new spirit that, just like Christ, fearlessly, ruthlessly loves your neighbor. Through Christ, you possess a new nature that loves who? The kinds of people that Christ loved. The pagans, the sinners, the tax collectors, Mormons, Muslims, atheists, Latin Americans, Somalis, whoever else you meet. You have a new nature that loves them so much that you just can't bear to see them remain in the unbelief that is destining them to hell. And so it is with confidence in Christ's authority that you are sent into this world to make disciples. You can rejoice that Christ's authority over your life and the commission he has given you is perfect authority. And there's one more thing that he has authority of that is so important to realize. He has authority over the one you are sharing the gospel with. And that's important because it is really easy to get down on ourselves if we run into somebody who just doesn't want to hear about Jesus, just can't stand any of this Jesus talk. It's really easy to get down on yourself when that happens. It's easy to get down on yourself over that person in your life who just refuses over and over again to accept Jesus. And we can feel like a failure because that person never came to saving faith. Now, if you were in fact the one who has authority over somebody coming to faith, then yeah, go ahead and feel like a failure. But that's not the truth. The truth is Christ has the authority over that person's life and that person's soul. You just get to be the messenger bringing the good news. You get to be the messenger bringing the good news, and he is the one who does the work of creating saving faith. Oh, beautiful news. And so it's under Christ's authority there we are commissioned to make disciples. Disciples of the whole world. And as I started out saying, it is both Christ's authority and his accessibility that makes it possible for us to take on this task. So let's talk about that accessibility. Jesus spoke these words to his disciples knowing that he was about to leave this earth and retake his place in heaven. Now, if you were to give this commission right before leaving with no other promises, what would that be like? Well, it would be kind of like, okay, you've got this boss, and you're on a sales team. And the boss says to you, okay, I've got a huge project for you. You're going to go and open up a brand new market on the East Coast. You're going to sell Acme widgets on the East Coast. We've never sold them there before. All right? Go do that. You're my guy. Oh, and by the way, I'm quitting this company, and I'm moving to Bora Bora. Good luck. Well, great, he had the authority to send you to the East Coast to sell Acme widgets, but now he's not going to help you do it. Well, that's not the way Christ operates here. Not only does he have the authority to send us out into the world to make disciples, but what else does he say? Lo, as behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Isn't that wonderful? Instead of saying, make disciples, see you in a few millennia, Christ makes the promise that he will be with you always, right to the very end, all the way until he finally returns to make all things new. What a wonderful promise. And what that means for us is that we are able to remain in constant contact with Christ our Lord. We're in constant contact with him as we go out into the world and as we make disciples. How do we keep in contact with him? His word, of course. Christ speaks directly to us through this holy word. You see, through this word, we've already got everything we need to be disciples of Christ. And there's not one word missing from the Bible that Christ would have us know to become disciples or to make disciples. So as we're out there sharing our faith, as we're out there building each other's faith up, we're going to run into all kinds of different people. We're going to run into all kinds of different situations. And there's going to be those times where we don't have the perfect answer. There's going to be those times where we don't know how to best speak the truth into someone's lives. But through this word, Christ is accessible. Christ is present with us, teaching us what we need to know to make disciples. And through that same word, The Holy Spirit is given to us as our tutor, as our guide, directing us and teaching us, making us wise. The Holy Spirit becomes our teacher as we seek to better understand this mission that God is sending us on. And so as we read this word, we have the promise that was given to us in John's gospel. This might be familiar to many of you. John writes, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you." See, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all going along with you as you look to do the work of making disciples of all nations. So is making disciples an awesome task? Yeah. Yeah, it is. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't. But sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's scary. But with the authority and the accessibility of Christ that is promised right here in Scripture, we can boldly go into the world and do just that. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you today and praise your name for the work that you have done in us. You have sent people into our lives to make us your disciples. And Lord, you have deemed us worthy to go and do the same, to be in the world and to make disciples. Lord God, thank you that you are with us, that you have the authority over us for the forgiveness of our sins. You have authority over us in your teaching of us, and that you have authority over all that we come in contact with. Lord, we thank you and praise your name that your Holy Spirit goes with us on this task. Lord, we just pray that we can be faithful, that we can overcome the fears of our sinful nature and boldly go love our neighbor enough to desire their everlasting salvation. I pray all these things in your precious name. Amen.